This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
And at 9:05, you're listening to WSMI AM 1540. It's the Wednesday talk show. I'm your host, Tobin Ott. Uncle Ralph is out this week. We have a special guest this week, Joe Thiemann from the Gillespie School District. Assistant Superintendent of the Gillespie School District is with us as well. Yeah, it is assistant, right? You haven't dropped the assistant yet, have you?
Not yet, no.
Not yet. He's our guest, and we also have Mickey Robinson from the Coal Country Chamber of Commerce here as well. Our conversation begins right after this.
At Plummer Funeral Home, after many years of service, we remain committed to providing the most caring, professional funeral services in this area. It is our mission to provide each family with the very best in quality care during what is often the most difficult of circumstances. At Plummer Funeral Home, we have never taken for granted the confidence families place in us, and we promise to always go the extra mile to earn your trust. Plummer Funeral Home, the locally owned hometown funeral home, your neighbor and your friend.
And we're back on the Wednesday talk show. Tobin Ott here with you on this Wednesday morning. Joe Thiemann, Assistant Superintendent of the Gillespie School District, and Mickey Robinson from the Coal Country Chamber of Commerce are our guests today. Gentlemen, welcome to the program.
Welcome. Good morning.
And we are here to talk a lot about the Chamber and the Gillespie School District. Mickey, let's start with you a little bit on the Chamber side. I know you had a couple of holiday events that just recently was completed. How did everything go?
Well, on Pearl Harbor Day, instead of having bombs falling, we had
snowballs. You had snowballs falling.
We didn't have snowballs. We just had a temperature drop below zero. Because when I was looking at it at 4 o'clock in the morning to see if we were going to run that train or not, and every hour you could see the temperature dropping more and more with the wind chill factor, and it got all the way down to 9 below zero. And I said, I'm not going to drive that train with that weather. That is too cold. I've driven it when it was cold and everything. But the snack with Santa was very, very, we had very, just almost our average attendance, 145. And then the petting zoo, we had over approximately 250 pounds of carrots that people fed the camels and the buffaloes and the reindeer. We had two new baby reindeers in there. They were just getting their antelopes up there. They just started, and it was very good. It was a nice day. The sun was out. It helped that morning.
And you talk about below freezing temperatures, and you're dealing with animals. My wife is a zookeeper at the Scoville Zoo in Decatur. You got to watch that, because some of these animals do not take well to the cold conditions like that.
Well, the reindeer are geared for that, but these were barely 5 months old, so they were not used to taking carrots from the people either. That's mm-hmm. one of the things that the kids didn't understand. When you put the carrot out there, they'll just stick their nose out there and gobble it up. The camels the same thing, the buffaloes the same thing, but the reindeers wouldn't. The kids didn't understand that. We tried to explain to them.
So now you've got the holiday events done, the fall festival done, summer concert series done. Do you actually now have time to rest a little bit? Is this the time where you could actually catch up on some sleep?
I can take two breaths and ready to go again.
Well, I know that, but
well, we have the business of the year next year. The board will be selecting that in the first week of January. And then we have some other minor things going. But we'll be in the first quarter is always the time that we regroup, start booking everything. Most of the bands for the summer concert series and the fall festival is 85% booked already.
That's not bad at all.
No, and everything like that. And when unbelievable, yesterday I got my first contract for the fall festival in 2014. So it's mm-hmm. already, you know, it's there. People are looking forward to the crowd and everything.
Okay. So it sounds like things are going well for you guys.
Correct.
All right. Joe, let's turn things over to you. Since the last time we talked, we had a first. Staunton and Gillespie actually played in a playoff mm-hmm. football game, which that's hard to believe with the rivalry and everything. I am a Bulldog. Don't hate me for that. But anyway, it's hard to believe that the two have never met up in a playoff until this year. And with everything going on with the school, with the construction, you had the tornadoes and that. That had to be pretty good to have a home football game, playoff game, with Staunton, with the attendance. Because from what I heard, you couldn't have packed any more people into the football area.
Yeah, sure. You know, from our standpoint, number one, it was our second home playoff game of the season, which was great. Mm-hmm. We had a great regular season. That day was a great day for our school district. Huge crowds, great day until the end, of course. Though, if we had to lose...
What side? It depends on what side you're on.
Right, right. if we had to lose, we would prefer to lose to a conference rival. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, Staunton went on to the state championship game, and we wished them well and supported them. And that, I think it shows the strength of our football conference.
Absolutely.
And just a great year and a great day. And I believe it was that day... Also, that we had to delay the game for just a little bit because of a lightning strike.
Right.
So we went inside for a little while and then came back out, and we were able to get that game in. So it was a great day overall.
And something like that shows, I guess, if you want to say unity with the community, because I mean, the community got hit pretty hard with everything that went on with the school, with the tornadoes, and the pit and everything like that. This showed kind of a force of unity here, and that's got to be good not only for the school but for the city as well.
Oh, sure, and I think as insignificant as it may sound, when you can start a school year off, in this case with our football team, and it's successful, I do think it draws everyone in, and some of the bite of the tornado is lost, a little bit when you can focus on something positive. As extracurricular in athletics.
Yeah, I just wanted to pass off some comments from some of the businesses as we inquired about, did they see anything going on? And the restaurants especially, after the football game, Amore's, Papa Joe's over there, Tony's, and the other restaurants, all the other ones, they all showed a big, nice increase in the business there. And some of the retail stores that were open still did very good. The Toy Chest, the Village Toy Chest in downtown Gillespie there, the Furniture Rescue, they did some business because they, you know, people getting there,
sure.
And they were still open. That was really the key point there. I don't think a lot of people realize that, them coming through town. Because I know one time about 1 o'clock, I was going down towards Staunton, and the traffic was like 5 o'clock at night someplace. It was just bumper to bumper,
sure.
Coming.
Mm-hmm.
I said, where are these people to go? And you know, I didn't think of the football game until it dawned on me then. But it was just interesting. The Chamber people really saw some improvement. Not everybody, but a lot of them did.
And while we're talking about the school, obviously we've got construction going on at the high school and that.
Right.
Give us an update on where we're at with that.
Sure. Well, we are moving. It's a little bit slow right now, but we are. Our concession stand that was totally blown away, football concession stand, they are framing that up. We also have started on the front of our gymnasium. If you've been able to drive by there, you'll see some work. We had to halt that work for a short time because of moving some power lines. Ameren was on site in the past couple of days. They're going to transfer some power lines, next week when kids aren't in session. This Friday's our last day, and then we have a two-week break. And so they wanted to do that when there were not students around. Once those power lines are moved across the street, then that construction will pick up again. As far as the interior part, we're still in the drawing plans up. Some of our listeners may not know, we lost an art studio and a TV studio in the back portion of that gym complex. And so we'll begin construction or reconstruction on that as well. So I look forward to what's going to take place late winter, early spring, and should be up and rolling again.
You mentioned the TV studio. For those that don't know, I mean, obviously I'm in radio. This was kind of like my major here. What is that used for? I mean, do you have actually like a media class that students can take to prep them How does that work?
We do. Jerry Rosentreter is our instructor, TV and art instructor, and Jerry has two courses in which kids can learn things like how to run a camera, mm-hmm. how to speak on camera, how to edit. Jerry and his crew, his class, are in charge of video taping, course concerts, band concerts, athletic contests. As class projects, they do things such as create their own commercials. So the whole idea is to give some basic skills to those kids if they did choose to move on in the TV or TV business, especially they would have some of those skills. So yeah, we do have an on-site studio.
And there's no is there like on-campus broadcasting? Do they do their own shows from the studio?
Yes,
really?
Sometimes they do that. Yes.
So it's, see, I just learned
it's pretty
something
neat.
Here.
Yeah,
that's. That's incredible.
But, you know, 5 years ago when they first brought it on, Paul and I had Jerry McCutcheon on here, mm-hmm. and we were talking about it and everything because he was coming out and filming everything in the community, including some of the chamber events. Mm-hmm. And then we would go over there and do some commercial ad or public PSAs, public service announcements over there. Plug in different things,
right?
Like that, give them that experience, and it was really good.
Let's talk as we touch base on the construction here. One big thing that came about with the construction, if you're a basketball fan, the county mm-hmm. tournament, just basically you and Bunker Hill flip flop.
Right.
You're going to have it next year. That basically provides you ample time to make sure the gym is in suitable condition to
sure.
hold it.
Well, you know, it came down to one of those things where it was a timing factor. And early in the construction phase, we thought that the gym might be finished in early January. Mm-hmm. But as we kind of got into the project, we realized that wasn't going to happen. Though we have a brand new gym in the elementary school, our new elementary school that we are playing varsity, we're playing every athletic contest
right.
in. We didn't feel for the county tournament that especially the parking was adequate. Seating, I think we could have dealt with. It would have been a tight fit, but we were worried about people parking in residential areas, maybe not enough lighting, became a safety factor in ice and snow. So rather than roll the dice, we contacted Bunker Hill, who we work very well with.
Mm-hmm.
They were very gracious in agreeing to take the county tournament this year, and then we will host next year.
And then hopefully graduation, will that hopefully be in the pit, or will
right,
it be in
well,
the current gym that you're using now?
We would like to have that in the pit in our gym in the high school, and our assumption is it will be finished so we can do that. But it's nice to have another venue to go to if that's not the case. So we think we'll have it in the high school.
Once construction is done, because I know you mentioned the pit, there's a lot of history with that
right.
gymnasium here. Are you guys planning like an open house for individuals to come in and see the work that's going to be done and the renovations that have been done?
Sure. When that time comes, we'll let the public know, and they can come on in and they can take a look at what's been accomplished. And again, not just the gym, the art studio and
right.
the TV studio, that
right.
complex as well.
Let's talk a little bit enrollment. How's enrollment going with the Gillespie School District?
Oh, it's great. We're usually pretty steady in the area of anywhere from 1,250 to about 1,300 in year in and year out. So we're happy, as some other districts have experienced some enrollment decreases. And the problem with that, of course, is then state aid is decreased, and so for every student that you lose X amount of dollars. We've been pretty steady with that, so we don't project any problems there, and hoping, as a matter of fact, with our new elementary school, this beautiful campus we have now, mm-hmm. That some people will and have looked at our school district as a place they want to be, and our community as a place they want to live. So I think it's a win-win for everyone.
It's hard to believe how far that campus has come along, because I remember I was with Paul Schemes and Deanna DiMuzio, well then State Senator Deanna mm-hmm. DiMuzio, and John Colerton, Senate President, was on campus, and we were touring the modular mm-hmm. units just for you guys to get by, because
sure.
the whole situation in Benilde happened in that, and then now you look at it, all of a sudden it's a total different
yes.
feel.
It is an unbelievable school. I throw out the invitation to anyone, and I mean anyone, that wants to contact me. It's something I love to do. I'll stop my day, I'll take people through the building. It's fantastic. And right, what was a cornfield is now a great academic center. The other thing I would mention, by the way, is as we speak, the modular complex is being taken away. One by one, there's a company now getting those ready to transport, and about half of those have been transported back to Indiana. And so we think by Saturday, this Saturday, that'll all have taken place, and then we will restore the site. There's going to be a lot of work to do to pull some, not some, about 415 concrete piers out of the ground.
Wow.
And then restore that site. We'll have to bring in truckload after truckload of dirt and then plant grass, and that's going to be a green space back there. So we were very lucky to get the modular unit, and that unit served its purpose for well over 4 years, but we're happy that it's also being dismantled.
And that was a sign of everyone clicked, everything just clicked together, and support was there at the right time.
Right.
The Board of Education acted quickly. Sure. Deanna DiMuccio, when she was there, and I think believe Gary Hanick or Wayne Rowe acted quickly to make sure that the modulars were there on time, so that there was no delay.
Sure.
And you know that I guess that scenario is few and far between.
Well, I think in light of so much negative publicity for government, especially state government, in our state, this is an example of where federal politicians, state government officials, local officials all came together and it worked. And I would be remiss if I didn't point out that the experience and expertise of Superintendent Paul Skeens tied all of this together. He had the contacts, you know, he had the will, he forced the issue, and we were only in double shifts, modified shifts, for 4 months, which is amazing to me. Then in a 4 or 5 month span, we had this modular unit on site. By the way, he found the funding for it, including a grant to remove those modulars, which is in a very expensive process. Without Paul Skeens, it simply would not have happened. So I want to make sure I give that credit to him.
And he's a good mentor to learn the ropes from, isn't he?
Sure. Well, you know, for someone that's someone that's been a superintendent for over 25 years, maybe close to 30 years, he's been in an education over 40 years. In the 13 years I've worked with him, I've never brought a problem or a question to him that he didn't have an answer for or that he had experience. Mm-hmm. So for me personally, he's been a great mentor, he's been a great role model, and even more, he's been a great friend.
And it's hard to believe this is his last rodeo.
This is his last rodeo here. Don't sell Paul Skeens short.
No.
That he won't find something else in life to do if you know him. So,
former Hillsborough superintendent, retired and stepped away, and I think he's been working ever since.
Sure.
taking little temporary jobs from different school districts. But you got to admit, though, he's a good guy to learn from. And
the best. Absolutely the best.
And how is the transition, because you're going to be the new superintendent soon.
Right.
How is that going?
Well, it's going great. I'm in my third year as an assistant superintendent, and so I've been able to learn under Paul Skeens. And by the way, a great Board of Education. Mm-hmm. I've had the opportunity that a lot of would-be superintendents never get, and that's, as I mentioned, to kind of learn on the job day after day. From day one, Superintendent Skeens allowed me to do certain things to gain experience, and so I feel very comfortable taking over the district. When Superintendent Skeens retires, but I have a great support staff. Paul Skeens told me a long time ago, you hire good people, you surround yourself with good people, and you get out of their way and let them do their job. And so that's what I'm doing.
Absolutely.
And yes.
And then you have the fun of learning the superintendents in the surrounding school districts, which you probably already know. But
absolutely, folks like our gentleman like Kyle Lofka from Staunton have been great. I talk to Kyle on a weekly basis. Pat Murphy from Mount Olive. Mm-hmm. Dr. Vic Beeler from Bunker Hill has been a great source. Mike Kelly from Carnival, I've known since I had attempted to guard him in basketball in seventh grade. So that's going to go back to the early 70s. So those guys are always a phone call away. So they've been wonderful.
And of course, and we kind of touched base on this a little bit, the education system this day now is a lot different than what it was before. And I'm going to use to see where you look at locally here in Montgomery County, mm-hmm. Morrisonville, Panhandle, you're talking consolidation. That word has become more of a forefront now than ever before.
Sure. And, you know, and I think that's something that's always there. I think in our case...
But it's more vocal now than sure. what it's ever been.
Sure. And I think that, you know, given the economic climate, that's certainly something that you have to explore. Mm-hmm. But I will tell you on a different level, we work very closely with Mount Olive, Bunker Hill, and Staunton in our case to pool services, pool resources. For example, recently had a conversation with Kyle Lofka, Superintendent Staunton. Mm-hmm. Can we share, you know, buses? If we're going to an FFA event and we're running a bus for 20 of our kids, why not add 20 of Staunton's kids and we split the transportation costs? So, you know, we already share programs and work together, special ed organization that we've created to share those services as well.
And to me, that sounds like common sense.
Sure.
I mean, forget the Bulldog-Miner rivalry.
Right, right.
It's like Purple Panthers Hilltoppers. Most of those kids are friends anyway.
Sure, sure.
That just seems like common sense to me.
Right. And I certainly agree in that aspect.
And I think that could... I guess, build the bridge for more cooperation between the two, whether it's, I'm not saying classes,
right.
someone along those lines.
Sure.
That may lay the foundation for even bigger and better things.
Right, and we actually have a committee of board members and administrators for the other three school districts I mentioned. It's mm-hmm. called a sharing committee, and we talk about everything from, and already do, by the way, bid our fuel as a collective group of school districts together to get a better price on fuel, better price on bread and milk, as I mentioned, transportation in general. Mm-hmm. We have, in fact, looked at sharing classes to pay, you know, two districts paying an instructor's salary versus one district paying it. All those kind of things are in the works as we kind of try to work out the kinks and explore those. And, you know, I feel really good about any district that would want to, you know, partner with us. But for us, Mount Olive, Staunton, and Bunker Hill, it's a natural it's a natural progression for us.
You talk about sharing classes. Mm-hmm. Is that easier said than done? Because you're crossing that line where you've got unions.
Right. You know, I think it's workable, and we've talked about that. Right, you would deal with different unions, different mm-hmm. union contracts. But, you know, I learned early in my career, if I'm told no the first time and I'm told it too quickly, it probably means there's an answer out there somewhere. So we've explored that, and there are ways to work around that. Bigger issues, honestly, are master schedules for each high school, for example, mm-hmm. because then there's travel time involved. You have to watch how you're scheduling certain classes
right.
that you want your kids to take in your school versus sharing. So I think there's some possibilities there.
Joe, it's always a pleasure. Thank you so much for stopping by and talking with us, giving us an update on the Gillespie School District. It's nice to hear some positive news from the district, and it's nice to hear things are moving forward in the right direction.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me. Appreciate it.
No problem. Mickey, we've got 50 seconds here. What do you have for me?
Just start planning everything from the business of the year in February 1st. And then start really going for the summer concert series, and every Tuesday night in June and July on that. And then in September, the fourth Saturday in September, September 27th for the Fall Festival, we'll be starting our 16th year because we were incorporated May 1st, 1999. So that's how long we've been at this.
Mickey, it's always a pleasure, my friend. Thank you so much. We will be off 2 weeks. I'm giving Uncle Ralph Christmas Day and New Year's Day off. Until then, we'll talk to you then. So
thanks for the sponsors.